brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey, and welcome to this first week of Advent, time of preparation, preparing most of all your heart, your mind, your spirit, to be ready to receive, to open wide again the doors of your heart, your mind, your spirit, to embrace Him as Savior of the world, to bow down before a baby and embrace Him as your Savior. Remember, I think I've said this every year in the years I've done this program. Remember, you are not celebrating a past event. You are not preparing just to commemorate something. The same grace that was there for the first shepherds who came to the crib, the grace that was there for them is there for you. Christ desires to reveal Himself to you in a different form, yes, but you're not celebrating a past event. You're celebrating a present reality. Christ desires to come day after day after day into the hearts of men and women. And He will come as a simple baby, a baby who can do nothing for Himself. He will come that way to reach you and to touch your heart. And the question is, will you embrace Him? Will you receive Him? Will you acknowledge Him? Really, He wants to come into your heart now, today. Will you receive Him? And if you feel inspired, just stop right now and open your heart to the Lord. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to visit you. Ask Him to speak to you. He who is the Savior of the world desires your heart. The first reading for today's Mass is taken from the prophet Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking of the coming of the Messiah. On that day a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. And then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. Everything will be reconciled. Everything will be reconciled when he comes. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox, and the baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. This will happen when Christ fully reigns over the earth at the end of time. The reconciliation of all, even those which seem to be enemies, both in the animal world and in the human world. God will reconcile everything. That's why we seek to be his disciples now, in a sense to be his forerunners before the second coming, being like a John the Baptist, bringing the news of the gospel again and again, people who have never heard it or people who have become deaf and hard. And we preach to them the good news, and then it's up to God how he touches their heart. Pray for his coming into the hearts of all those you know this Christmas. Pray that this be a season of grace for those you love, that they come to recognize him. But this will be the fruit of the reign of Christ. Psalm 72, justice shall flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. Fullness of peace forever. Don't you long for it? So much strife, so much backbiting, so much bitterness, so much envy and jealousy, so much hatred, so much violence, so much pain, so much division, so much dissent. It's because we don't accept the reign of Jesus. It's because we're not willing to live under his authority. It's because we don't really have faith. We say we believe, we utter faith with our lips, but do we live it in our hearts and our lives? Does the faith we profess on Sunday, is it a reality in our lives the rest of the week or not? How strong is our faith? Ask him for it. Let that be what you ask the Lord for this Christmas. An increase of faith to really believe that this is true. This is what God has for us. This is the promise of God. Will we heed him or not? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 21 to 24, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. In my life, I have had the privilege of speaking with and being in rooms with men and women who are lauded and praised and exalted in many ways, whether by the church or by the world. But I wonder so often, how many of them have what really matters? It's a childlike heart. A childlike heart is one who says, Lord, I know you're my Father, and I look to you for my daily bread. I look to you for all my needs. I look to you in all my challenges. I come running to my Father. It's not childish. It's childlike. I know where my source is, and it's not in me. I know the one to whom I belong, and it's not in this world. I live in this world as a traveler passing through, doing as much good as I possibly can for others in the time that I have here. But my life is an eternal life. My final destination is not here. My final destination is heaven. Brothers and sisters, those things are what's so essential in life. Those are the bedrock truths upon which we need to live our daily life and the perspective out of which we need to look. We need new glasses sometimes to be able to see what is real. And what is real is that you are a child of God. What is real is that you're going to live forever. What is real is that you're placed on this earth to give him honor and glory and to love others with all your heart that they may come to know him as well. That's what you're made for. Do you live it? Or have you, like so many of us, have you lost an eternal perspective? Is your perspective simply on this life, today, here, now, and there's nothing else? We need to live our lives seeing this life in light of eternity. It's not just looking at eternity, but seeing this life in light of eternity. Jesus came so that you could see what is before you, so that you could put your hope and trust in him, so that you could know that he came to save you. He broke the power of sin and death so that you could be with him forever. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to receive that. We need to thank him for it. We thank him by the way we live. We thank him by our confidence in him. We even thank him when we repent, because we're saying, I acknowledge you're real. I acknowledge that life is bigger, much bigger than what I can see. And I acknowledge that I need to follow you. I acknowledge that you are the source of life and that you're the path for me to eternal life. Those are acts of faith. And when we acknowledge them and when we live out of them, we gain an eternal perspective. We are able then to see this life in light of the life to come. Those are graces God wants to give every man and woman of faith. So you pray for faith. You pray for faith and may be able to see that way. See as God sees. See this life. See eternal life. See your place in God's plan. Faith shows you what it is. It's not just some pie-in-the-sky dream of somebody. It's God's truth. And this Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, don't miss what is so absolutely essential, is that we love him and want to follow him. Luke tells us in chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise, that's the worldly wise, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike, not the childish, but the childlike, those who put their trust in the Father. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the gift of faith which God gives us, if we yield to it, if we accept it, if we open it, if we live by it, we will begin to see what the world wants to see but does not see, and we will hear the voice of God. Yes, through the teaching, yes, through the word of God, yes, in all those ways, we will genuinely hear that it is a Savior who loves us in even now, while he's hidden from us by our sight, he's not hidden from us in our spirit. And if we follow him and follow his word, follow his way, we will walk closely with him. We will come to that day where we will enter eternal life forever. Brothers and sisters, put your faith in the Messiah. It's real. It's eternal. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.